Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's June, and while your mind might be on summer, political junkies everywhere are focused on November, which means that in Massachusetts, Democratic Senate nominee Elizabeth Warren and incumbent Republican Senator Scott Brown now have 5 months to highlight their differences as they refine their political campaigns. And what better way to do that than political advertising? A fresh group of ads hit the airwaves today. Here's Senator Brown's, which features his wife, Gail Huff.
I was a reporter on Boston TV for many years. Well, I don't know how many husbands would want their wives getting up at 1:30 in the morning to go to work. Scott did all the morning routine, get the girls up, get them fed, get them dressed, get them off to school.
So home and family, the focus there for Senator Brown, which was also the focus for Elizabeth Warren's new ad, albeit with a different tone.
Work your heart out to buy a house, then watch its value disappear. You save to put your kids through school, then the debt just about crushes you. Families are getting hammered, and Washington's got it all wrong.
Well, joining us now to discuss how the race for Senate has been developing and may continue to develop over the summer is Radio Boston's Political Roundtable. Susan Tracy is our Democratic analyst. She's a former state representative and president of the Strategy Group. Susan Tracy, great to see you again.
Thanks, Meghna.
Also with us is Republican analyst Robert Gray. He's president of Gray Media and a political consultant as well. Rob Gray, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So we're going to talk about some of the big issues in the race that we'll see in the coming months. But Rob, let's just start with the two ads that we heard that have been released today. What are your thoughts about the tactics taken in this latest round of campaign advertising?
Well, I think Brown is trying to fill in the rest of the picture. Remember, his special election race was really only a month-long campaign. We're used to big races here in Massachusetts being 6 months long with the candidates introduce themselves and the family and their accomplishments. Scott Brown really didn't get the chance to do that the last time around, so that's what he's trying to do here, introduce his family. It makes sense for him, but at the same time, even if he's very popular, he still could lose this race. So it's just a piece of the picture for him.
Susan?
I think each of them are doing what they've done to date. Scott Brown is running a very kind of feel-good, less issue-oriented, more about I'm a nice guy. Warren is running a race that's very issue-oriented. It's a real fight for the middle class. That's been her history. And I think those ads show that. One's feel good, one's issues, and what I'm going to do for you.
Okay, well, in this round of ads, at least, they've refrained from talking about each other. And, of course, both candidates have made an agreement to sort of try and not allow third parties to come in and muddy the waters in terms of campaign advertising. Do you think that commitment against negative advertising is going to hold, Rob?
No, it won't hold. What you see is Brown's putting up these kind of good guy sandbags against the Democratic tide, and that's the biggest issue in this race, is that it's happening in a presidential election year in the blue state of Massachusetts. So Obama is going to get big, big numbers. He's going to win by 25, 30 points here. Brown thinks that if he gets his popularity numbers up, his likability factor, that he can hold back the tide. So it makes the negative question trickier for Brown, because if he attacks Warren personally, it could lash back on him. We don't have third parties in this race right now per their agreement. It's hard to predict. Brown may regret that at the end if he doesn't think he can punch at Warren enough out of his own campaign coffers. He may wish that he had Karl Rove's group Crossroads in here softening her up.
Well, what's to stop Crossroads from coming in other than this agreement?
Yeah, I think that if the agreement falls apart and it's perceived as falling apart because Brown allowed it to fall apart, that could be very dangerous for him. One, it will appear that he's desperate in the campaign. And two, to your point, you know, Mr. Nice Guy is no longer Mr. Nice Guy. I think he has more to lose if it falls apart than she does. I think you're right, Rob, that Obama will be strong in the state. You know, Romney was the governor here, so let's not forget that. But Obama will be strong, and I think if it falls apart, I think it could hurt him.
Well, Susan, when we talk about the big issues in the race, obviously the economy is a big issue for everybody. Mm-hmm. How is it that you see both Warren and Brown are going to sort of play to what they see as their relative strengths in terms of talking about the economy in the coming months?
I think Warren's right on message when she stays focused on the middle class, when she talks about mortgages, when she talks about the Consumer Protection Agency, when she talks about kids' tuition, when she talks about the future and pensions and Social Security and sort of elders, how they're going to survive in our economy. I personally think the focusing on issues, middle class people, I'm going to help you, I'm working on your issues, will play better than, hey, I'm a really nice guy and I'm going to work with both sides of the aisle. Ultimately, I think people want a fighter in Washington. And I think if you're playing too hard on the bipartisan card, you're not a fighter.
Well, Rob, is the bipartisan card the only one that Senator Brown would be playing? Because I feel like he could also focus on that exact same group of voters and say, I've actually now been in Washington on your behalf.
He is going to focus on that. And I think he'd like to be described, as John McCain is described, as a maverick, that he bucks the party in Washington. I think he knows that Elizabeth Warren and her allies are going to try and paint him as another vote for Republican leadership in Washington if he goes back down there for another 6 years. So he's gone far to point out that he's passed the, you know, insider trading reform bill, that he's voted against the Republican caucus in the Senate on several occasions. So we see the kind of nice guy fill in the blanks introduction of his family right now. But I think he will get back to this, I'm a bull in a china shop down there. I'm a liberal Republican who's willing to vote with the Democrats when necessary.
Well, let's talk about briefly, if we can, an issue that actually played out in Wisconsin recently and how that might inform how Senator Brown and Elizabeth Warren might look at a particular group of voters, union voters, for example, because, of course, in Wisconsin, what happened was that Governor Scott Walker survived a recall vote. And that win for Governor Walker was essentially seen as a blow to labor and public employee unions, perhaps a win for Republicans heading into this presidential election year, as we've been talking about. So, Susan, let's start with you. Do you think that vote in Wisconsin could shed any light on what might happen here in the Massachusetts Senate race, given the union vote?
First of all, I think the labor base matters. Brown does not have a strong labor record. I think it's about a 23% record in favor of labor. But we all know that some of the labor members don't vote with leadership,
right.
So that's an issue. The thing that I found interesting on the Wisconsin vote is you get the sense that people are angry, in particular, and you mentioned, Meg, public employees. I think there's an anger towards public employees. And if labor is seen as public employees, I think that is a harder place to be, because there's a sense of, I'm not getting health care, I'm not getting pensions, but I'm paying for you. And there's an anger, I think, that exists there. I think it's important for Elizabeth Warren to be a strong labor candidate, but to also bring those labor issues across some boundaries and make them issues that are for all middle-class people, not just for those in labor unions. And those are fair wages, those are benefits, those are taking care of people when they get older and in retirement years. And I think she needs to make sure the wedge of public employees don't play into this race.
I'm not sure how much labor is going to come into the Massachusetts race, because the vast majority of public employees that people care about here in Massachusetts work for the state of Massachusetts. And this is not a gubernatorial election as it was for Scott Walker. So I don't see labor as being a big public issue in the race, though I do see it as being a base issue for Elizabeth Warren. I mean, she's got to get 90%+ of the labor vote, or it won't be enough. And Brown is clearly trying to cut into that vote.
Mm. Let's talk for a little bit, if we could, about one thing that Senator Brown has now that he didn't have when he was running in that special election, and that is a voting record in the Senate. There's going to be a lot of attention placed on the details of his voting record. For example, last week he voted with the rest of the Senate Republicans against the Paycheck Fairness Act, which is something that the Warren campaign has already jumped on and said that this is something that they believe makes him not a good person to represent Massachusetts. So no surprise there that they'd be jumping on that. But Rob, let me ask you, I mean, broad-based question here. Is his voting record a strength or a liability in this campaign?
I think he's done a pretty good job of being moderate, voting with the Democrats enough to honor the tradition of Massachusetts Republicans who are not totally lock stock in line with, you know, Newt Gingrich and, you know, the worst Republicans of Washington, as swing voters here would tell it. a lot of the issues that Warren is trying to get Brown on, this paycheck fairness bill for women and the Blunt Amendment on abortion, I think she's going to have to rely on those issues being front and center in the presidential race in order for them to carry into Massachusetts, because Brown's record has been balanced enough in terms of voting that I'm not sure she can make it an issue in and of itself without the presidential race helping out.
Susan, do you agree with that? Do you think that she needs the lift of the presidential campaign?
It's not so much the presidential campaign from my perspective. I think it's more about tying Brown to the Republicans in general. The Republican Party has moved dramatically to the right. And while Scott Brown could say, well, I'm a moderate in that party, the reality is, you know, as we all know, he's going to have to vote for leadership in that party. He's going to have to be supportive of colleagues in that party. He's going to have to take some votes for that party. And the party has just gone so far to the right. That's why you have Olympia Snow leaving in Maine. So I think it's going to be hard for him to be bipartisan and be a moderate, and at the same time be associated with a group of leadership that is so far out of touch with the Massachusetts voter.
And I've seen this movie before in 1996.
We have indeed, yeah.
Governor Bill Weld running against Senator John Kerry. They both ended that race with very high popularity, just like Scott Brown has now. But Weld lost by 7 points to Kerry in a national presidential election year.
Absolutely.
Where Dole lost in Massachusetts by 35 points. Weld couldn't get over the tide.
Helms was the issue in that race.
That's right. Kerry said, I don't care if Bill Weld is pro-choice or the most liberal Republican in America. When he gets to Washington, he's going to vote for Jesse Helms to be, you know, leader of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. That was enough in Democratic Massachusetts to nick Weld so that he couldn't get off the top. Warren is going to pursue similar tactics against Scott Brown, and whether Brown will be able to outperform the ticket by more than Weld did, we'll have to see.
And of course, just to remind those who may not remember Jesse Helms, the late senator from North Carolina. So we still have obviously many months to go before November, and we've talked about political ads, we've talked about strategy. What about in terms of how the candidates are going to really speak directly to voters, and one of those ways being debates? So both Senator Brown and Elizabeth Warren have agreed to debate each other. They're still haggling over the details. Do you have a sense or thought about how debates might shape this race this time around, Susan?
I think debates can swing elections, especially in a race that is this close, and that's why they're haggling so much about this. A couple of television debates in the final couple of weeks, somebody does something great, somebody makes a gaffe. It creates momentum. Those final 2 weeks of a campaign can never be underestimated. So there's a reason they're haggling so much over this.
And we saw that in the Scott Brown special election.
Absolutely.
Where the question came about the Kennedy seat. And Brown had that very memorable answer that this is not the Kennedy seat, it's the people's seat. And that helped him maintain the momentum and win in the special election. There are going to be 3 or 4 high-stakes televised debates in September and October, and they could well swing the race one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Massachusetts is a heavily politically interested state where voters have a history of watching debates. They will watch these, and it will help that 10% to 15% of voters in the middle make up their mind.
Well, on that note, I want to just close by asking the question, which I know the campaigns never want to talk about, but we love to talk about it here, and that's polling. It's early in the race, but lately they've been shown as being basically neck and neck. Do you anticipate that changing over the summer?
I don't. Barring something crazy happening, I see this race coming down to the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree with Susan. It's going to be plus or minus 1 or 2 points for Brown or Warren. Right through to the end, you're not going to see mad swings in this race one way or the other.
Republican analyst Rob Gray, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Robert Gray is a political consultant and president of Gray Media. And Democratic analyst Susan Tracy, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Magna.
Susan Tracy is a former state representative and president of the Strategy Group.